This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, join us right now, my guy Dan Duggan, who covers the New York Giants for The Athletic. He's been on with me a bunch of times. Dan, are you there?
I'm here.
Let's do it, man. We're going to talk about the G-Men. What a year. 100 years of New York football, Giants football. I don't know who had the script. The NFL writers, they wrote one hell of a script. It's been all bad. How do you feel covering the team this year? The vibes have been around the building, around the players and the fans.
Yeah, I mean, for the script, it'd be like a horror story for the Giants. Like you said, it really couldn't have gone worse from, it feels like their season ended like a year ago, and they still kept taking L's. You know, when you got Eli not getting into the hall, and then, of course, Saquon capping it with the Super Bowl in Philly. That just kind of continued that insult injury. I kind of felt like, you woke up Monday morning, and it was like a breath of fresh air finally. It's like everyone's 0-0. They can finally start looking forward to the offseason. You know, the combine's right around the corner. Free agency's right around the corner. So they can finally close the chapter on 100th season. And, I don't think there's a ton of optimism out there in, you know, Giants fan world. But still, it is a fresh page here, and they can try and get things turned around in the 101st season.
Yeah, they got to get things turned around. To add insult to injury, you have Giants legends Michael Strahan and Amani Toomer in the news this week. Obviously, Strahan on the pregame show for the Super Bowl, taking that Green Eagles flag and waving it with Saquon because he's trying to support his guy, and you know, that's not the right move. He sings Fly, Eagles, Fly, and then Amani Toomer comes out there and backs him up and says, hey, you know, we're the ones that put our blood, sweat, and tears into this for this organization. We're not just going to stand by and be fans of the organization. We expect better results. So I say that to say this. This is a big offseason for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and this regime that survived these last 2 years. I was just looking at your article about, you know, the free agents. One, with all of this, who would want to stay? And two, who do you think is going to still be here, you know, from Darius Slayton to Aziz Ojulari, some of these free agents coming up?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not the juiciest list. Obviously, in past years, you know, you go back 2 years ago, it was Daniel Jones and it was Saquon. And then you go to last year, it was obviously Saquon again and Xavier McKinney. And there was some big-time names. Guys went out and got big contracts elsewhere, obviously. In Jones's case, stayed here on a big contract. This year it's not like I said, the juiciest names. You know, Darius Slayton, Aziz Ojulari, probably the two headliners there. Slayton's a guy who I think they probably should bring back. You know, I mean, he's kind of been thrust into the wide receiver one role for most of his time in New York. I think he's better suited as the number two. And now that you have Malik Nabers, it's a fit. And they've never really shown that they value him. There's been, numerous instances where they made him take a pay cut his first year. Last offseason, he kind of skipped some voluntary workouts, hoping to get a raise. He didn't. So I don't know that they value him enough. I think he's going to get on the open market and find himself a decent deal. But I just would bring him back. I mean, I know he's got his flaws, but at least you know him. Because what's the alternative? If he leaves, now you've created another hole. You're going to go overpay for a guy like Stephon Diggs, who, you know, might be just kind of hitting the wall, whereas I think Slayton still has some good football ahead of him. And then Ojulari is the guy where, he hit that spurt when Kayvon Thibodeau was out. I think it was 5 sacks in 3 games. I was like, oh, my goodness. You're thinking this guy is going to cash in, have this huge contract probably in free agency, and then kind of true to form for him, he gets injured, you know, pretty much immediately after that stretch. So his market's a little tough to peg to nail down at this point. I have a hard time seeing any path for him back to the Giants, though, because if there is a hot market for him, are they really going to pay $10 million plus for their third edge rusher when you already got Thibodeau and Brian Burns?
Right.
And then if his market is kind of cool, if I'm him and I'm going to have to sign a cheap prove-it deal, I'm going to go somewhere where I have a better chance to play because, again, even if he comes back here, obviously he's getting stuck behind those two other guys. So I don't see him coming back. Slayton, I don't either, but I think they should make more of an effort with Slayton if they can get that done.
Yeah, after not trading those guys, you'd like to see one of them come back, and I think Slayton is the guy. He's a good guy. He's a veteran. There was so much talk about the locker room and, you know, losing some of those guys like Saquon, like Sterling Shepard, Xavier McKinney, you know, guys that at least had been, you know, in the league for a little while and did something where they have that respect. I think you kind of need a guy. Like, they don't have that many veterans. I think Dexter Lawrence and somebody else might have spoke to this year about, like, yo, like, you know, who's supposed to be the leaders? And I know the media has asked Brian Daboll about it because they have so many young guys playing. This next draft is so important. I feel like they got to hit again. It's hard to go back-to-back years and hit every round like they did last year with so many guys that contributed. But I think this is a make-or-break draft. And what I've been saying is, you know, there's so much ill will towards Joe Shane for Hard Knocks and the decision to move away from Saquon Barkley and how they kind of fumbled the whole decision-making around Daniel Jones and his benching and his contract. They have to have a masterful draft, and it starts with the quarterback. They haven't drafted one, and that's like the last thing to do, complete the Holy Trinity, GM, coach, and quarterback. But at three, it's not a guarantee that Shador Sanders or Cam Ward will be there, and I'm starting to think that they could do some other things. What are your thoughts on Shador Sanders or Cam Ward or trading up to get the number one pick or just making sure that they come out at least with a top quarterback and then probably, you know, get a guy in free agency as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, you touched on a lot there, and I think they're kind of in a little bit of a sticky spot because I think they've backed themselves in the corner here where they have to take a quarterback. But then you obviously laid out one potential pitfall there. They might not get to three. I mean, obviously, it's conceivable that Ward and Sanders go 1-2. But I think maybe the other option is, are either one of these guys worth a top three pick? And are you going to be forced to take one just because you need one? Whereas last year, right or wrong, they showed restraint when they didn't get any of those top three guys. They're sitting there at six. And they took Malik Nabers, who was, you know, like, to go back to Dave Gettleman, like a gold jacket type pick. And you saw his rookie year. This guy looks like he's the real deal. Now, would they have been better off taking Bo Nix? You know, I don't know. They're both 1 year into their careers, but they at least had the conviction, like, we're not going to force a quarterback. We're going to take the blue chip, you know, stud position player, and that's going to be a big piece of our foundation. Now, a year later, say you're picking third, and Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter sitting there at number three, is Shador Sanders a better prospect than them, or are you going to take him because you need a quarterback, and you're going to squint and say, I see it with this guy? I don't know that everyone does. I mean, I was just looking at Dane Brugler, who I think is the best in the business for us at The Athletic, and he had Shador Sanders, you know, something around like a 25th-ranked prospect. Is that a guy who's worth a third pick? Is that a guy who's worth trading up for? Because that's the other thing you mentioned. I don't know that they can just sit there and wait for whoever falls to them if they are as desperate as it seems. So then, you know, Tennessee seems very open to trading back. They have a first-year GM. Are they going to really kind of push their chips to the middle and say, we're not leaving anything to chance? We're locked in on Shador, we're locked in on Cam Ward, and we're going to give up assets to go up to number one. And again, that is like you're really putting all your eggs in that basket. So that's what I mean. They're in a tough spot, and this all kind of goes back to when you brought this regime back. I mean, they can't go into year four and not take a quarterback. So they've kind of like set it in. They're going to take one, and now it's just a matter of what avenue do they use to actually go get one.
We're on the phone with Dan Duggan right now, who covers the Giants for The Athletic. Dan, I've been saying, like, as bad as this year was, it could still get worse. There's a lot of risk involved with this draft and picking the right quarterback or picking the wrong quarterback or not picking a quarterback. Like, if the Titans want to go Cam Ward, it would make a ton of sense. Will Levis isn't a sure thing for them. I don't even think Callahan even likes the kid. And then in Cleveland, Deshaun Watson's not going to be able to go, and he was terrible, and they can't run Bailey Zappi or DTR out there. Like, they need to, you know, all of their guys. Myles Garrett wants out. Denzel Ward had an interview where they, you and David Njoku just now at the Super Bowl said they feel like they're just a quarterback away. They want to draft a quarterback, potentially. Maybe they draft Abdul Carter. We don't know. What I always say about the draft is a competition, and As soon as you start to telegraph who you want, the Giants fans know this. Like, somebody's going to trade up. Somebody's going to, you know, kind of go behind your back and make a deal and take the guy that you want. And this regime, they are literally making decisions for their lives. So it got floated this week. A decision was made to bring in Chad Hall, who was a receivers coach and now be a quarterback coach. And when you put that on top of Kelly Stafford's podcast and her clip going out there talking about, you know, wanting her husband to be respected and it, you know, might be over in L.A. and being up for an adventure, you know, Giants fans have started to cook up the Photoshop of Matthew Stafford in a Giants jersey. So maybe they try to go that route. One, hand up, I don't believe that the Rams are ready to move on from their Super Bowl winning quarterback that they went to get. But what do you think about the prospect of trading for Matthew Stafford and him maybe being the quarterback for the next couple years while they potentially take a, you know, second round quarterback like a Jackson Dart or a Kyle McCord and try and develop him?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's got a lot of legs for something that I don't know that I've heard from anybody in the league as like a realistic possibility. But I will say, when Adam Schefter breaks that news about the Giants assistant quarterbacks coach, like, not the biggest scoop Schefter's going to have this week. It was notable that he threw in that line that Chad Hall, the new assistant QB coach, is brother-in-law to Matt Stafford. Like who the hell cares who the guy's brother-in-law? Unless, you know, Schefter's throwing some breadcrumbs there. You know, obviously these guys in his position kind of know more than they report at times. So maybe there is some smoke to all this talk about Stafford. You know, I look at it from a bunch of different perspectives. If I'm the Rams, I have no idea why they would be looking to move on from Matthew Stafford. I mean, obviously it would come down to money, but you were driving with a chance to beat the Super Bowl champs, you know, in the playoff game they got knocked out. He's still playing at a high level. I mean, are you really going to penny pinch and let him walk or trade him? I mean, they don't have anybody waiting in the wings there. So you're going to just totally kind of like start over a quarterback. That would be an odd move. But again, it at least seems like that's possible. If you're Stafford, I mean, he doesn't have a no trade clause, but if he's a veteran quarterback who says, I'm not going to the Giants, they're not going to trade to the Giants. And I can't imagine why he would want to come here. This is a guy who obviously kind of wasted away for so long in Detroit, finally gets to a winning program, wins the Super Bowl. He's clearly in the twilight years. Why would he want to come to a place where, at best, you know, it's a building process that's certainly not ready-made? I would think he'd have, you know, more preferable destinations. But if you're the Giants, I can understand the appeal. Certainly, you know, you're talking about how important this year is to, like, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I can certainly understand the appeal to them because we just talked about the draft. There's no surefire answers there. I mean, in an ideal world, you're getting your Jaden Daniels in this draft, and you don't have to worry about veterans or salary cap or anything. You're just going to draft the guy, and he's going to be the guy. I don't think these guys project to be that, whereas Matthew Stafford obviously is a known commodity. All the other veterans out there that they could get, whether it be free agency or trades or guys getting cut, there's a lot more warts than Stafford. I mean, I think the biggest one with Stafford is just the fact that he's 37. You know, what would it cost to get him? You know, I'm sure a day two pick or more. Then he's probably going to want a new contract if he comes in. So there's still a lot of things there that would give me pause. But if I'm Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and John Mara, who desperately wants to win, I can certainly understand the interest there and why they'd be calling up Les Snead and John McVay and trying to make something happen. I just think there's too many variables that don't make sense for the Giants being the place where he ends up. But certainly I would not be surprised if all this kind of tea leaf reading and doc connecting gets a little more serious. I could definitely see the Giants having interest.
Yeah, I've been leaning on the fact that he played in Ford Field and SoFi Stadium indoors. He's going to go to the Raiders. He's going to try and like, I think they, you know, they might grant his wish. I don't see him at 36 going on 37 wanting to come play in MetLife Stadium behind that Giants line because New York would be good for his wife's podcast. I don't see it.
No. And that's why it's like his brother-in-law being the assistant quarterback coach. You think that's that much of a sweetener? I mean, like he's a couple years from retirement. They can go, you know, be neighbors with his brother-in-law if he wants to. Yeah. I don't think that's going to push
I don't think these guys are BFFs like that. Like, oh, it's a lock. Here's what I think they got to do. Shout out to my boy Dre, who sent me this from the Giants rumor mill. You know, Jake Browning is a name that possibly could happen via trade, or Joe Milton. I've suggested Joe Milton would be more of the option there. Maybe they got to strike a trade for a veteran that's not an older veteran, but a, you know, somewhat younger veteran to bring in with a drafted young quarterback and let those guys kind of compete and you know, work together this upcoming year. What are your thoughts around a Joe Milton, a Jake Browning, or maybe even a Sam Howell Gardner Minshew type of quarterback?
Those feel like too big of dice rolls for where they're at. Like, I think they need a guy who they know can come in and start, you know, especially you don't know, like, you know, free agency and trades all happen before the draft. You don't know who you're going to get at three, if you're even going to get a quarterback. So, you know, Jake Browning made a nice little stretch there for Cincinnati last year, but I think he's got seven career starts. They're all last year. Joe Milton, they already had the one start in week 18. I know he looked impressive. I think it was probably against the Bills backups, if I recall. Don't think he's ready to come in, and you're going to trust him as your 17-game starter. So I need to go for more of a known commodity on the veteran market. Again, it doesn't have to be a trade for Matthew Stafford. There are plenty of guys who will be available. It's not the most attractive lot. Like I said, a lot of these guys have warts. But, like, the guy who sticks out to me, and, again, it wouldn't be perfect, is Justin Fields. And now, listen, Pittsburgh might not even let him leave. You kind of have heard more reports out of there that they actually prefer keeping him over Russell Wilson. But I just like the idea of him as, like, you know, you're always trying to find the next Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold, these kind of reclamation projects. And he fits that mold as a guy who obviously has a ton of talent, was 11th pick, obviously, in that trade with the Giants. The Bears took him. Didn't pan out his first stop, but there's still tools there. He's still young. He's not going to cost a ton. So as, like, a bridge quarterback with some upside, I think he's like 25 years old, I can see the appeal there. I mean, listen, I think worst case, you can run your 2022 offense that Daniel Jones operated with Justin Fields. So there's a floor there, and then you'd hope that the supporting cast is improved. When you have a guy like Neighbors, the O-line's a little better. Obviously, Saquon is gone. I think that there's at least, I can get a little excited about that. A lot of the veterans, it's like, you know, like Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, like Russell Wilson, if Pittsburgh doesn't keep him, it's hard to get like too excited about those guys, but I think that's just kind of where they'd be shopping. I don't think they'd go so far to the next tier of like a Milton or a Browning. I think they'd get a guy who has proven he can win the NFL, even if kind of past their prime.
Yeah, I get that Aaron Rodgers is available and he's local, but I wouldn't do that. Cousins, in his old age, I wouldn't do that. I think Justin Fields would be perfect for those design runs that Dable likes to call, and adding that added threat in an offense now where you have your number one wide receiver, you found a running back, you have a young tight end, you can add to that. Maybe you draft a Travis Hunter to add to that, and you bring in Justin Fields, and then you take a quarterback in the second round. I think that would, you know, insert some energy. I think there would be a little bit more promise, a little bit more, you know. I think that's something that the fans could rally around versus going, you know, the route of one of these older quarterbacks that have failed elsewhere. This regime can't do it. This is it. You know, this is the last thing for you. They have the longest odds to win the Super Bowl. They have the toughest strength of schedule. So it would lead you to believe they're not going to win a lot of games next year. This is just, you know, we're going through the motions before these guys ultimately get let go. They're going to need so much to happen to win and succeed and keep their jobs. And I really do think that they almost have to take the quarterback, because the quarterback is the golden ticket. The quarterback is the only way that they're able to survive a 4 or 5 win season, because John Mara will not want to do what he did to Daniel Jones. And especially if that quarterback is a Shedeur Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, right? They're going to want to keep this all together and develop. And I think Shedeur is a little bit of a project. I don't see him lighting it up right away. I think he's going to need time to develop. What do you think about that?
No, I agree 100%. Everything you said is exactly why I think they're going to, you know, take the quarterback, whether it's because they love him, because they're going to force him, because they have no choice. Like, they're going to have to take the quarterback. That's why I think some of these other scenarios. I mean, again, the Stafford one, put that maybe in its own bucket, because I think you could be good enough with him that you win 8-9 games and you could sell that as like, hey, we made major progress. I don't think any of these other guys would move the needle enough. So say you win 6 games with Justin Fields. Like, I think that wouldn't be the worst option, because I don't think you should force the quarterback. But for them, with their necks on the line, I don't think they can look at it that way. They need to either win games this year, which I think is going to be a long shot, like you said, with the schedule, or just kind of have some reason to sell progress to ownership. And you're just not going to get that with a veteran bridge guy, whereas at least with the lottery ticket, with a rookie quarterback, you know, you don't need to win 10 games their rookie year to say, hey, we made progress, because if the guy has a promising rookie year, like look at Drake May in New England, they're all head over heels. I mean, what, they win 4 games this year? But you saw enough signs from a young quarterback, and listen, it didn't save the coach. I mean, that's not the best example for Dable. But point being that, like, if you have a young quarterback, you don't need to win games for that guy to generate excitement. And listen, we know John Mara is kind of looking for reasons to retain these guys. You know, obviously, he very easily could have moved on. He didn't. So I have to think the plan for them is we're gonna shoot our shot. You know, we've had the bat on our shoulder for 3 years now, haven't drafted a quarterback. it's time to take a swing. Now, if they miss, they're out either way. So I think they take the big swing, whether it's Sanders, whether it's Ward, however that comes about, trading up, whatever it may be, I think they end up with one of those two guys. Too early to narrow it down to which one. And then, we'll see how next year goes. Because, again, if they start out 0-8, then they'll probably both get fired anyway. So it's like, whatever, they have to just take the swing. I think they're so far beyond just like playing it safe. Because, again, they don't even have a quarterback on the roster right now. They haven't brought one in, since they came in. They need to at least make that leap. Now, that might not be the best thing for the Giants long term, because you get the wrong guy. We've seen the last 6 years how that can kind of just get your franchise stuck in neutral. But for them and for the hope of, kind of propelling things forward for themselves and for the franchise, you take that swing. You hope you got your Jaden Daniels, and obviously, things look a lot different a year from now.
We are in the end game now. Dan, you're the man. Appreciate you joining us on The Fan.
Yeah, anytime, Keith.
888-808-1019. Okay, I have gotten my two guests on and out. The Knicks game is about 10 minutes away from finishing. Knicks are up 103-95, so I'm sure we'll get to that conversation in the 10 o'clock hour. And, I went back and looked. Justin Fields did play with Garrett Wilson. I think Justin Fields' agent has got to be on the phone with the Giants and Jets. Get that kid to East Rutherford. And, here we are. Aaron Rodgers is out. And the Giants have to draft a quarterback. And if there's even a thought that Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders could go 1-2, then Deion's got to try and force his way to New York. And the Giants might have to get on the phone and give something up. They have. There's nothing else to do. They have to take a quarterback, even if the quarterback is a potential bust. Even if the quarterback, there is no Jaden Daniels in this draft. they have been painted into a corner. There are no other moves left to make. There's one card left to draw. You have to draw the draft quarterback. There's nothing left to do. Complete the holy trinity of GM, coach, and quarterback. And Giants fans have to pray that it works and that they see signs of growth and development, and John Mara is in a better mood about the prospect of where they're going. But I can't see it. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I do not see them being able to compete in the NFC East, and their schedule is so tough. It might just be a 3-year continuation of darkness. But who wants that? We want baseball. That's another thing. We're going to get into the baseball conversation. Actually, I'll do that now. I'll cue up the Aaron Boone quotes from the press conference. And I think I have a couple Carlos Mendoza quotes as well. You don't need the Kodai Senga quote translated. Everybody's heard it about the dome. So, we'll start to mix in the baseball conversation. Because like I was saying last night, football has been so trash around here. Baseball is our shining light. The fact that the Mets and Yankees made it to the final four teams, one to the NLCS, the other to the World Series, and then some days later, here we are right back. We need this next month to fly by so we have competitive baseball on both sides of New York to talk about, so we don't just feel this way, as far as the Jets and Giants just being at the bottom of the league for a decade.